This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the worst, guys. We are out here. We
the
are
very
always
worst.
Out here. It's so good to be with y'all. Chilling with what I think are some revolutionaries in the new age, in the industry of fashion, in creative industries all over.
Thank you.
That's what we've got going on for you here today. My name is Malcolm Dlouli. I am the worst of the host of the worst guys. So I hope y'all are ready for an interesting show. It's going to be mad dope. All right. So, let me start with you, Lebo. You run Blossom, right? Lebo,
just introduce
yourself to the homies so we all know what's your story.
Exe Fede. I go by the name of Lebogang Mokoko, otherwise known as my name is Lebo. And I'm just a kid from Pretoria, man, who's just stupid enough, you know, who thinks that, you know, you can make the world a better place, you know, with fashion, you know, just making really dope shit.
We need those stupid people, man. We need those stupid people.
So basically, man, I'm just like an upcoming, you know, I consider myself like a creative. But I'm an upcoming designer, you know, / photographer, you know, just / you know, just everything.
Slash, you know.
You know what it is. You know what it is.
Cool. Ndu, holler at the peeps. Tell them your story.
Hello, my name is Ndu. I'm from Durban, and basically I came to Johannesburg to come pursue my dream. So I'm also on that, you know, artist, whatever.
Yeah.
I can make it. So I'm in design, I'm in music, and now making my place in modeling soon.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's crazy. See, that's the thing that I feel these days. We've always got a whole list of things that we can do.
There's always been
this idea or this thought that you have to be committed to one. If you're an accountant, you're an accountant, and that's it.
Yeah.
As creative, there's so many different avenues in which our creativity can flow.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to know that you guys are really out here, man. We have to.
Man, so we're born frees, man.
We are the born frees. We have to shape the future.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So tell me, do a little bit about being from Durban and coming to Jersey to chase the dream. That's like, you know, that's the South African dream. You know, we get sold the American dream, but in South Africa, it's, you know, so tell me, you're from Durban,
yes,
and you're making your way to Jersey. Tell me how that all happened.
Basically, I grew up loving fashion design. My grandmother was a fashion designer in her own right, so I just had to do something related to that. And then I heard of Lysoff, which is the institution I studied at. I had a great 3 years there. It's run by a lovely lady named Shana.
Yeah, what did you study there?
Fashion design.
Fashion design,
yes.
Through and through.
Yes.
And what does that entail before you carry on?
Wow, that entails a lot of focus that everyone takes for granted.
Okay.
It's very practical, but it's also theoretically based. So the idea that you can just waltz in there and start dressing everyone up without understanding different body shapes or understanding different trends is almost non-existent. So the idea is that everything that you do is learned, studied before you actually come through to practicing it. You know, there's a lot of branding behind it. There's also a lot of conceptual thought before you finally get to the last product.
So you there at the design school?
There.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then from there, what did you do at life?
From there, I got to do a graduation range, which allowed me to style quite a few people. So first person who actually debuted my design was Rana Patel, who now runs the RM Fashionary blog. She wore it Fashion Week last year. And then I also got to meet with a few lovely stylists. And with that, I got to dress Pearl Moody, who was like a big star on my list of things to do while I was here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool. So the dreams are being reached. The goals are being reached.
They are being reached, hey?
But there's just a whole lot of mountains to climb.
A lot of mountains.
Yeah. Okay,
yes.
Cool. And yourself, Lebo, I can see you wearing this dope-ass outfit, Blossom, which is what you're about on the show today. We're going to talk a lot about Blossom and what that is.
Yeah.
Let me just describe it for you. Those at home who can't see it, I don't even know how to describe it. You know, it's mad dope. Okay, it's a blazer jacket, floral, but that old school kind of floral.
Flair.
It's not really light. What is it called?
It's upholstery, actually.
Upholstery,
you know?
Yeah. All right, and there's a raincoat hood.
There's a lot, actually.
There's
man.
A lot. I see a raincoat hood and like a kangaroo pouch as well to keep your phone and shit. But yeah, it's blossoming. It's beautiful. Tell me a little bit about Blossom and what that is to you, Lebo.
Basically, man, what people got to understand with Blossom is like, it's not my label. It's not my brand. It's the name of the collection. So I think I represent like a new era in terms of like not just design, but just like kids who are coming out of Africa that like we've got like a lot to say, you know what I mean? So Blossom really just deals with the seed that I'm trying to plant into, you know, people's heads, you know, people's, you know, minds. It was just like the introduction of like my vibe and just like my design aesthetic. So I'm currently in my third year. Like I'm doing what Indu just did.
Yeah.
So I also have a graduate collection coming through, you know, towards the end of the year. And I just generally wanted to not necessarily like prove something, but I wanted to give something to the streets, to the culture.
Yeah.
Because like you have to understand, like, especially in our country, man, there's a very, for lack of a better word, it's like if you're not in fashion, you don't know what's currently happening
in fashion.
You understand what I mean?
I was just about to get to that because What is the fashion industry about? Who are the... Because you've mentioned a few names.
Yeah.
And I won't lie, those names do not even ring a bell.
Exactly.
To know about fashion. Tell me what the industry is like. Are we any good at fashion in terms of competing with international countries?
We tune to Empire, dog. We tune to Empire. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's the dollars. And if you follow trends, not just fashion, but just trends globally. Like, everyone is looking at Africa right now. Like, this is the best time for you to be African, you know?
And it's South Africa in
particular. Yeah. It's not even about a black or white thing, but it's like, it's a really great time to be African right now. It's just now, like I said, there's still that thing where, like, you know, if you're not in fashion, you don't know what's up, you know?
Yes.
And I don't want to be a part of that. I want to just introduce a new wave of thinking where, like, I can make something that, like, has all these design principles, you know, and, like, is runway worthy. But it's still at a level where, like, a taxi driver can relate to it. You understand what I'm saying? So that's what I'm bringing.
You were saying earlier, we did chat about it, and I just want you to say, for the sake of the people listening.
Sure.
You don't use models to model your clothes. Well,
Nah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
I think, man, like, I don't want to bash my school, and I don't want to bash the system, but, like, a lot of the things that, like, are relevant now, or the structures that are in place now, like, they're outdated, man.
Yeah.
Like, for real, like... Like, this whole thing, like, people right now, I mean, if you look at, like, the, like, people that are most influential in terms of, like, maybe the idea of beauty is, like, now, it's big now. Like, it's convergence, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
Beauty is not one angle. It's multi-angle.
Exactly. Exactly. So people don't really want to see, man, this perfect idea of a person. Like, I want you to see, like, your best friend. I want you to see that girl that you grew up.
Yeah. Reflection of reality. Exactly. That's what art is.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, like, these are the people that I think, you know, are going to be the ones, like, actually buying my shit. Or I see you wearing my shit and shit like that. You
realistically,
know? So,
you're not going to look like that skinny model.
All the time.
Exactly.
So tell me a little bit, Andu, about the fashion industry, how you feel about it. What should we do as a people? Because, like I said earlier, we are, outside of the fashion industry, we are clueless.
True.
We are very clueless. And that's why it's nice to have you guys on a platform like this where we can speak about anything and everything in any way we
follow
want.
Follow Andu, man. Follow my name is Lebo on Instagram. You know, he'll put you on.
Yeah. This guy's hiring for Insta.
The thing with the fashion industry now, especially in this country, is that we're coming from a background where we're kind of constrained. We always go back to that apartheid history that we had, you know, and there's kind of little inspiration to draw from that, you know. So you're expected to kind of create all these African print type of garments. So the idea with where the fashion industry right now is happening in South Africa is that the new school designers are breaking out of that. You know, we're not doing designs where, because they say you're from Africa, this is what you do, or this is what the world expects from you, you know. So you're getting the new school guys, you're getting your Rich Mises, you're getting your Tebes. I mean, you're getting the Blossom range, which is why I was obsessed with working on it, you know. It speaks about
it too.
Thing compared to what we're used to doing, you know. So even particularly with the Blossom range, if you look at all the items of clothing there, you know, we're speaking about gender fluidity, the idea that a male can wear those items and make it what it is, and a female can wear those items and she can make them what it is.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about the modeling process you speak about. Are the clothes unisex, all of them?
Like, let me tell you, like, I don't mean to cut you off again. I was doing like an interview for City Press. For those who don't know, like, if y'all read City Press, like, you would have noticed, like, there was a small little section in City Press where I was really talking about, like, Blossom and like everything. And what I was trying to tell, like, the people is, like, I didn't approach this, like, yo, this is autumn, winter, this is spring, summer.
Yeah.
Or, like, this is a men's collection or women's collection. I was just really focused on creating really dope shit that people can wear on an everyday basis. You know what I mean? Mm. And I think that's the new way of thinking.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really think people buy shit anymore like that, like, where, like, they really think about what's up. It's like, is it dope or is it not?
No,
can I rock it or can I not rock it?
You know? Tell me about modeling the clothes themselves. How did you feel about doing that and do what?
It was pretty cool. Like, like Lebo was saying, for me, it was more than just wearing clothes. It was a statement that, listen, I'm going to make these clothes what I want them to be. The clothes aren't going to make me, you know? And that's the type of thinking that we're trying to develop in this industry anyway, that we're breaking through the social constructs of what fashion is expected to be. It's not meant to be pretty. It's not meant to be ugly either. It's just meant to make it what you want it to be, you know?
Okay, so what platform was this on that you did the modeling for? Did you just release a bunch of pictures on the web, on Instagram?
Is like
that your main platform?
I don't want to say it was strategic, but it was strategic. I mean, what I did is, like, okay, let me tell people, for people who don't really know, what normally happens is, like, when designers come out with, like, a collection, it normally goes to, like, a fashion week.
Yeah.
And then, like, maybe after a while, you know, they drop the lookbook where it's just, like, the model standing.
Yeah.
And they're like, yo, yeah, so this is the clothes, this is where you buy it. Full stop. So what I wanted to do was, like, I wanted to create a moment. I don't want to sell you a product. I wanted to present the product to you without saying anything, without telling you what it is, and let you decide whether you think it's dope or not. And if you want to buy it, buy it.
Yeah.
That's what I did. So, like, for 2 weeks straight, I just campaigned hard. Like, it wasn't even a lookbook. It was a campaign. That's what I did, a campaign. I'm only releasing the lookbook, like, very soon. Because I just shot it on Monday. Yeah, I just shot it on Monday.
So,
like,
So how did you press that campaign? What did you do in the streets?
Pushed it.
What
social
did
media,
social
man.
Media. Social media.
That's
social
where it's at these days, right?
Yeah.
Yo. Yeah, social media is everything. So from social media, what can be the next step? From, like, your Instagram, what do you look to gain as an Instagram, I don't know what to call you guys.
Influencer. Nah, influencer. I think the term is influencer, man. Like
on Twitter, it's a Twileb.
Yeah, Instagram is influencer.
Okay, it's influencer.
Definitely.
How do you get from being an Instagram influencer to starting to get paid the big bucks and dressing real stars?
I think that's the thing also sometimes. It's like we're always thinking about the big bucks.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you're not about that.
Yeah, the thing is, if you want to make money, don't do art. Film, like, honestly.
There's a lot of people making a lot of money doing
that. I'm not saying they don't make money, but I mean, their whole approach is like they do something they really love or they really believe in, and they happen to make that amount of money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, if you really want to make money, go be an accountant, man. Don't come here and
like, go
the
get an office job.
Yeah,
guaranteed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Guaranteed.
What happens tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
but
real.
If you want to be a real instigator of change, then
I think it starts with you understanding
yourself.
Yourself and what it is that you want to achieve. Not just from the Instagram, but like, what's the whole vibe? Like, what am I doing with this? And where do I see it, you know, a few years from now?
That's essentially what I'm asking you. What do you see in a year or so? Like, from Instagram, have you seen growth since you started on your page itself? Are there other avenues other than Instagram that you use to put your catalog? I wouldn't like to call it catalog. Your catalog, as you say.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there another platform?
I mean, first of all, Instagram? We have to acknowledge that we're sitting on Cliff Central right now.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? So I think
but they
what
can't see your
but
looks swag. But
true.
Can't see it.
But you know, I think what happens is, like, you have to understand it's like your CV. You know what I mean? That anyone can access at any given time. That's what these social media platforms have become right now. You know what I mean? That's why you can't even just say anything on social media these days without it being like a big thing. So I think the next step is like getting that attention or getting that right exposure or speaking to that specific market, like, because you really need to figure out your niche too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'll speak for myself, for instance, man. I've been featured on, you know, sites like 10 and 5, you know, OK Africa, which is, you know, American based, you know, so stuff like that happened, you know, like I just mentioned that I was on City Press, you know, like, so.
So you see it happening.
Yeah, it does happen.
It doesn't have to be in the amount of followers. You can
dude,
you
I don't have followers for shit, man.
Yeah.
I'm struggling.
The idea is also to reach out, hey?
Yeah.
I've, like, earlier, because I did my graduation range, I actually spoke to Vuzi and Channel O earlier in the year, and they replied later that they're willing to take my clothes out. So they sent me a contract.
Me connect, B.
Yeah, but then the idea is that everyone thinks that it's so difficult to get into the industry. Like, it's not a lie. it's not easy. It doesn't just happen. But if you wake up in the morning, you say, listen, I want this today. You put your mind to it. It will happen. You know,
most
you
of the
study
time,
who's where, you know,
most of the time it's not getting into the industry that's difficult. It's the progression.
Becoming
a successful artist as opposed to the millions of struggling artists that we have. But I wanted to ask you, specifically in terms of our international reach and our competition with France, for example, because I know France has always been big on the arts and and New York, you know, Fashion Week, all those guys. In terms of international competition, where do we stand? Are we in the top 10? Are we in the top 50? What are we looking at?
It's not where we are. It's our ability that's most important right now, because we are in a space where.
So I presume that means we're pretty far behind.
Yeah.
If you're number one, you're always like,
we're the best.
Like,
we are the best. I totally believe we're the best. We're just not getting the right support from the right people.
How do we change that?
Oh gosh. First of all, gatekeepers, like literally how our fashion weeks happen.
Dude, our
fashion councils are running. What is happening in the fashion industry in this country is not on par. Like, I mean, there's things like Gavin Roger, who's been copying people's designs for how many years now, and no one's saying anything. You know, the right people aren't saying anything. We're the new school cats, and we look like we're jealous, but we're not. Like, how are you copying someone's design overseas? And then even the retailers, they're copying overseas designs and not endorsing enough of our work.
They're overlooking our talent.
It's not even a joke.
And then the only time they actually start looking at what you're up to or what you're capable of is when someone internationally has recognized you, and
by then it's too late.
It doesn't make sense, you know. By that time, you don't want to work with that person either, because why did it take you so long to recognize?
Yeah.
You know.
So 100%.
And just to add to what Duja just said, I think what also is pulling us back is like the fact that economically, we're not doing really well. So we don't really have a textile industry.
Our textile industry is hitting us deep.
Right now, fabrics are on another level right now, dude.
I mean,
I recently met with the retailer who was like, the reason why they don't like stocking South African designers because of the quality of the textile. Now, who controls the quality of the textiles but the government?
Yeah.
Because they're the ones who are doing
selling, importing
for us.
Exporting.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, so now it's the cycle where you need to check who's in charge of what, go there, speak to them, you know?
It's complicated.
It is.
It's complicated. Okay, so anyway, my name is Malcolm Julie. We are on The Worst, guys. If you want to contact our peeps that are in the studio right now having a really interesting conversation, you can hit us up on 0861-555-189. I'll give you that number again. It's 0861-555-189. We're also on Twitter at cliffcentral.com and TheWorstGuys at _TheWorstGuys. Yeah, we're just having a chat about the fashion industry and essentially how much there's a way to go. That's what I'm getting from you guys, is that we still have a long, long way to go, because not many people know about fashion. And it's everybody is a fashion head in some way or another. You wear clothes every day when you wake up.
Dude, it's in our culture, dude.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, dude, you could be the most poorest guy, but I'm telling you, if you really peep game on the street, these nyoras are killing shit.
It's not a joke. Nah, I believe you on that, too. It's just, I'm really struggling to find a way for us, especially for you guys, because you're more directly involved in fashion. We'll talk a little bit later about the other things you guys do, but I'm really intrigued on this topic because I don't know much about it.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm sure our listeners don't as well, so it's nice to give them some insight. What do we do as a youth to actually change something, like grow? I don't know what we can do for you guys. Are you just hoping to get picked up eventually by an international because like we look at South African artists and I always use this example, is my favorite example, Trevor Noah. He did something exactly similar to the Daily Show in South Africa that bombed big time. And even though he got the platform, nobody supported it. Nobody was there for him. Mm. So he's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to go to where the people appreciate what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And where I'm on top of that, I'm going to get paid millions.
Yeah.
So I want to find out from you. We'll start with you, Leb. Just tell me about how we combat that. Or are you willing to say, you know what? Fuck this. I'm out of here. I'm tired of this bullshit. How do we make South Africa the dopest?
I probably won't give like the best answer because I am part of the youth. So I don't really have that perspective.
Mm.
I think someone who's older, someone who's younger, would have a better perspective because they can really see something for what it is, you know what I mean? But what I think, you know, or what I feel is like, it shouldn't be a situation of me going to Paris and never coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, I think, I mean, I'll take, for instance, like, example, like, I'm from Pretoria. And I used to think, like, nobody from Pretoria, like, was doing shit until I moved to Joburg and I went to Cape Town. And I realized that a lot of the dudes that are actually killing shit, I'm from Pretoria. But they go to Cape Town or they go to Joburg and they become Joburgers or they become Capetonians and whatever. They don't really bring that home or try and bring the attention that they're getting to bring it on the next guy. You know what I mean? So I think the way forward is not necessarily praying and hoping that someone, like, I don't know, like, hits you up and gives you a budget. It's like, don't wait for a call. Like, make the call. You know what I mean? Like, so if, like, for instance, like, I was telling you, like, I made this shit with my lunch money. It's not like I had a budget. Yeah. It's not like I had to do it. It wasn't part of the school. I was like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of just chilling, trying to express my ideas at school, and it's going on deaf ears. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to make some shit and then, like, show these people what I'm actually trying to do. You know what I mean? So I think that's what we need to get, like, into the habit of doing, of not like talking about ish, but like more about, like, participating and see what I can do and, like, sharing your opinion through your work. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Do you think that the fashion industry is supportive?
No.
Not at all.
No. They do try. Like, I give a lot of props to SA Fashion Week. Mm-hmm. I did get to intern there, so I know personally how hard those women work to make sure that the fashion is getting somewhere, but the way in which they're pushing it is in the wrong way, you know. Mm. It's always constantly about what type of design the designer does instead of how good is that design, you know. So, for example, this year, a good friend of mine, Tantla Masamola, some of you guys may know him. He's been in a couple of times, entered AFI. And
he's too dope. Shout out to him.
So dope. Like, it's dope. Not even just the friend thing. Like, from a, like, fashion perspective, this person's on par with international trends. They're on par with what's happening in the world right now, you know. So he didn't get picked for the top four because his design wasn't commercial, you know. And the thing is, there's five types of design out there, you know. There's commercial, conceptual, avant-garde. I've forgotten the last two. God, forgive me.
Yeah, I'm not really school, so I can't help
you. Yeah, but there's five types of design out there, and you as a fashion platform in, like, the country is going to support one. That just does not make sense. Like, what are you saying to all the other kids who want to design in that space?
Yeah.
That, okay, fine, you can't design there. Then that gives the international market competitive leverage. We're not doing that type of design, so they can bring their stuff here for the market that wants to buy it, you know.
Yeah.
And then even with our retailers, constantly watering down designs, you
know? Like, I feel like just as a pleb, I see that, you know, every shop has the same clothes, just cotton on.
I'm not even going to tell you.
JJ's, they all look the same.
The process behind that is so discouraging. Like, I'm not going to say which retailer I also interned for, but I remember presenting a new range with the whole, like, this is the new look. You've been doing this for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
They literally made me remove nearly every new detail on that item till it looked like the previous jacket. So I was like, then what was the point of me doing this whole thing, you know?
Wow, that's crazy. Okay, so, well, look, you guys are incredibly talented, as we can see physically. And also, you know, as we do a lot of different things, we're talking about music.
Yeah.
I'm just going to play a track of yours.
Can I introduce it?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
we're going to talk a little bit later in the second half just about, you know, your other adventures and your other creative avenues. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about your track.
Okay, this is a moment, man. Shit.
Is it a moment?
It's a real moment.
Wait, what? Is this like the first time it's playing, getting airplay?
Yeah, and it's also like the first song that, like, I legit, like, recorded, like now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I haven't recorded in a minute, but, like, okay, cool. So this is the soundtrack for Blossom. So for anyone listening who's from Pretoria, you're really going to resonate with it. And anyone who doesn't know what a Pretoria sounds like, this is how it sounds like. So the track is called Leblomalaga, translation, My Flower. Blossom is all about, like, flower prints and everything. So, yeah, let me not give too much away, but, like, yeah.
Yeah, let the song speak. Let the song speak.
It's a good verse.
Yeah, here we are. Oh, Hey, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's that Pretoria sound, because like I'm from Pretoria, Sunnyside. What? Gangsters and drugs. That's what it's all about in Sunnyside.
Yeah, man. And it's the that side.
Yeah. But thank God I've escaped. I'm now in the Jersey town. But yeah, my name is Malcolm Julie. You are with the worst guys. I'm chilling with some revolutionaries, creative revolutionaries, Ndu and Lebo. They are telling me all sorts of interesting things that I had no clue about, especially when it comes to the fashion industry. And yeah, man, it's great to have some insight. But yeah, today my boy Ria Betswe unfortunately is not here. Mm. He has some prior commitments making that money, at Louis V. So it's just me out here. We're just going to do the news segment and we're going to get some comments from our guest in studio. Yeah. So the first thing, I'm sure we all know about it, the Tshwane unrest that's been happening.
Yeah.
Ish, man.
Mm. Wow. Mm. Like, I don't even, you know, we're supposed to try to be funny about news and like have some political satire, but you know, this is just one of those things where we really just have to go down there and ask ourselves what is happening.
Yeah.
Because that is not just a result of the change of the candidate. Okay, just to give a brief outline of what happened. So essentially, the unrest is over the ANC's appointment of Thokoza Didiza as the mayoral candidate in Tshwane, right?
Yeah.
And the people want the current candidate, Sputla Ramokgopa. Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, that is the name. So now, obviously, first and foremost, the people shall govern. Mm. That's what democracy is. So that is an infringement on democracy on the ANC's part, mm-hmm. imposing, because the order was given by the Luthuli House, which apparently has the authority to make this happen. So firstly, ANC has too much power. We know that. But now it's getting to the point where cities are burning.
Yeah.
I saw this picture on Twitter and I couldn't believe it. It said it was of Tshwane and there was two huge fires on either side of
Aerial shots, right?
Yeah, the aerial shots. And it's like, this is what an apocalypse looks like.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
it's crazy.
What's
even worse is like the public broadcaster can't even show us.
Yeah,
what's really going on.
That whole shit is just makes the matters worse, because why are you hiding? Why are you hiding from us? Your fault.
Wow.
The ANC tries to say it's just thuggery.
Wow.
It has nothing to do with them, but it has everything to do with them, because if it was just thuggery and criminality, you wouldn't feel the need to block it to your people.
Mm. Yeah.
Your people who you govern. Well, you don't govern, but
I don't know why in our country people have to die before we make certain decisions. You know
why
I mean?
Things have to burn, why people have
like,
to die.
It's unnecessary, man.
Because we are unwillingly under a dictatorship.
Yes, we are.
We are unwillingly under a dictatorship because there's nothing we can do.
True.
They don't listen to speech. They don't listen to burning cities.
Court orders, they don't listen at all.
No.
You know, and like Zuma's charges got dropped. I mean, that slid under the radar because of all. There's so much chaos that we can't keep track.
Yeah.
We can't keep track, but now our cities are burning. So, what do we say? What do we do? Because we don't have many options, do we?
Nah. I think what
it's either vote for another party, which I still am not sure
quite
is.
Shaky
yeah,
on that.
Who do you vote for?
Not quite comfortable.
Who do you vote for? Yeah, because we were speaking a little bit earlier about voting and trying to understand why we should vote. Tell me your opinion on voting, Lebo.
Man, I think I speak for a lot of people when I say like I don't want to vote for a party. I want to vote for my president.
Mm. Yeah.
Like I want to choose who's going to lead me.
Because there's a lot more accountability.
Yeah. Like, I need to be able to point the finger at someone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, I just feel like, you know, it's about high time, like, the party just listens, you know, to the people.
That's the thing. That's what scares me, is that nobody ever listens.
Nobody.
Mm. And a lot of the times you get flack, especially as a youth who never experienced apartheid and never experienced,
you know,
the idea of having your privilege of voting taken away from you. We get a lot of flack when we say, okay, we don't want to vote.
Yes.
But I think part of a democracy is, and part of the reason why our ancestors fought for us is for that right to withhold my vote, to abstain and say, I don't see anybody fit to lead.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to make that decision.
I'm not going to contribute to a broken system.
So you have a voice, but you can't even speak.
Yeah, but you even not voting is using your voice powerfully, actually. Mm. I'd rather not be involved in what is causing the fires in Tshwane. at the end of the day, until you've given me an alternative solution,
yes,
I will abstain from voting.
Yes.
And I think that's very powerful in and of its own. I don't know how you feel specifically about the fires. Mm. It's primarily in Attridgeville.
I think that's where it started initially.
Yeah.
And then it trickled down to like Mams, like Mamlodi and Kharanko. So basically all the major townships in Pretoria. I think it was a situation where like they cohesively like spoke like, yo, we're going to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
Because like all my friends that's that live ridiculous. There, like they can't even go to work, go to school, go anywhere. They literally closed down all the exits and all the entrances.
Yeah.
And like the people that were involved in this protest, they were literally telling people like, yo, if you're trying to go to work, we're going to fuck you up. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, this is crazy. Like,
and you know,
it's our way or no way.
Yeah.
You know what's sad is you also get these people, no offense, like they sit behind their computers and they write all these analysts and all these posts about how, you know, there should be a more peaceful way of doing this thing, you know, a more peaceful way of protesting. But the idea is that if you're not being heard, you do need to do something eventually for you to be heard. I mean, how long have people been sitting asking for change from the government?
Mm.
You know, everything is given to us in little tidbits. You know, you ask, I mean, look, for example, at the NYDA that was meant to be there to fund young businesses. They don't do that anymore. But they're still getting the funds from the government to do such things. So where's the money going?
The problem I find is that with the government, it's just we don't have the space to do anything real.
Yes.
Because we can talk. We can once even you said there needs to be different ways of protesting. They're not working. We use violence. Even the violence isn't working. Because Gwede Mantashe said on the Times, he said that the ANC is not changing their mayoral candidate, and they're causing crazy disruption in the entire country, and they still refuse.
Mm.
So even violence is not a medium that is working. Let me tell you what I foresee.
Mm-hmm.
As I was telling Indu, we're going back and forth about it. I mean, everyone can see that, like, you know what? A civil war is going
to
come eventually.
You think so?
Yeah, if people don't do anything. Mm. Like, I'm telling you. Like,
that's what I'm... To be honest with you, it's just boiling.
Mm. Yeah.
The pot is boiling. Mm. But what I'm trying to do is that we need to go the other way. We have to find peace somewhere.
Look, we're in a space where democracy came. Like, it was just brought for us, you know. Not to say people didn't fight for it, but we never dealt with the issues. The TRC wasn't really useful, you know. So we actually need to have the civil war where we actually confront everyone for exactly what is happening. Like, not just race, you know, even the classes, even in terms of business, what is happening? Why aren't people being hired? Why are foreign internationals buying into our business? Why don't we own anything? You know, we constantly talk about how we want the land back, but we're not it's our actual government who's giving our land away. So it's not even a race thing where it's like, oh yeah, the white people came and took our land. That's not the case, you know. So once we get through all these phases, which are probably going to be dealt with through a civil war, because
America went through a civil war. And I don't want to use war as a strong word because I believe in a revolution.
I believe in
a revolution. But the thing is with revolutions is that you have to be anti-establishment.
Mm.
And anti-establishment generally leads to violence.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what I think the war comes into play, you know. But I don't want to use that word. But we are in dire need of a revolution.
But I mean, the reality also is like, these politicians, man, there's a huge disconnect between them and the people themselves. Like, all of them live in, like, these gated communities. So, even if, like,
they
shit happens, like,
happening.
Yeah, they don't feel it.
They don't feel it. They know it. They don't feel it.
So,
what I think is it's nothing to them.
As you realize, cut down on that. What I see is going to happen.
No more white bread.
No more white bread.
What's going to make people listen is that it's going to get to a point where it's not going to just affect the poor people.
Mm.
Even the people behind the companies now, they're going to start feeling the pinch.
They have to.
And as soon as they start crying, I think that's when.
Who knows?
My biggest thing is currently I just feel like there's no political party at the moment that actually stands for where we're trying to go as South Africans.
Mm.
You know, each party that we have represents something that we don't want. Like the ANC is corruption. I'm not going to carry on.
I'm not trying to pick fights with anyone. Okay, cool,
but just
each political party right now represents too big of a flaw to be.
They don't represent anything in our generation that we want.
I'll tell you for me what my personal ones. ANC is corruption, and the next best for me would be Julius Malema's EFF, just because of economic
but with a big budge, you know,
big, yeah. volatile, anything can happen.
Danger.
And then also the DA, I don't trust the DA. Not because of apartheid, not because they're a white party, it's because of how they go about their campaigns, how they, firstly, the whole Akhang switch, who is it? I forgot, but the, one of the leaders of
yes,
Akhang, and then also, this latest one with Musi My Money, he's just a front man. Like, it's just, I feel like it's a wolf in sheep's skin.
Let me just present what is supposed to be an African
a rainbow nation. Here's this black man married to a white woman who speaks very good English, but he's also from Soweto. And like, that shit he does in parliament of making his voice a little bit more black.
That's what I wanted to say. It's like, have you ever heard a white man trying to sound black? That's what he sounds like. Yeah, it's like, dude, I don't believe you.
It's so just
down with the homies.
Yeah, so there's a whole lot of reasons why there aren't, well, I don't have any confidence in anybody out there at the moment. But yeah, just moving on from that, still in South Africa, geez, South Africa's been on fire this week. Okay, the Guptas are at it again.
That's my fan. I fucks with the Guptas.
So, there's a tender, a supposed 51 billion rand tender for Prasa that they've been. There was a letter about the passing of this money to the Guptas. They wanted to get 600 commuter trains from China, which is big business for them. So, and China, they obviously have some sort of deal with China, whatever. But the Guptas are at it again, playing with us like monkeys.
Leave the Guptas alone.
Leave the Guptas alone.
Hey, man, leave the Guptas alone.
Business is a big part of how a country runs. So we just need to find a way to make them work for us.
Either way, my belief is, if it's not the Guptas, someone somewhere out there will still be having a hand in South Africa that they shouldn't. I mean, before that, we were colonized by Britain, you know? So
there's always...
Fine, the Guptas will go, but someone's coming.
There's always some sort of nepotism or some sort... Like, if a nigga hooks you up with a job, bro, and he's like, yeah, man, just...
Man, I'm a boss.
You know that guy.
I'm a boss.
But for
but
let's
I understand
say for,
what you're saying.
Yeah, hypothetically.
It's like the whole pimping
there's always
going
to be like, bruh, but I gave you this job that you have right now. There's always
done.
Those types of
but those
human
are bones,
interactions. No, there's business, there's what you call it, government, but there's also human interaction where that's where corruption comes from.
It's an emotional thing.
Yeah, it's an emotional thing.
But I really think like corruption is not the issue. Like corruption is everywhere.
Yeah.
The only problem is like these guys, man, they do corruption and they don't do anything else. Like, dude, feed the people. It's like the gangsters and the mafia. You know what I mean?
Like, Pablo.
You know what I mean? Like, that
Frank
guy.
Lucas.
Like, the state can say whatever, but, like, they loved him, dude.
Yeah. Because,
like, he fed
the people.
The community loved him. You know what I mean?
Do something. Because if you're going to be evil, like, you're going to be evil.
Yeah. But at least you order a smile, man. You know, man.
Bring some groceries.
Yeah, lie to me a little bit. You know what I mean? Yeah, dude.
Don't make it so blatant. Don't make it so blatant. Okay, so this last news story catch up for the week is... I don't even know if I want to talk about it, but I'm tired of sweeping shit under the carpet. It's Vicky Momberg. She's the latest racist to come out. As you know, they come out on the regular. So there was a video. She had just been smashed and grabbed. And she was calling the people who smashed and grabbed her the K word, saying that these guffers just smashed and grabbed me. I don't give a fuck. And she was saying this to the cops as well. So it was a real intense situation. And she's a estate agent. I don't know what it is about being estate agent. Maybe that's why we're being denied access to housing. It's these estate agents.
But we also
agents.
Don't have money, man.
Yeah. Let's be honest.
We got bonds and stuff like that, man. We don't buy houses cash.
Alright. So, I'm just saying it's out there, it's happening. White privilege is always out there and we cannot deny it. And
I just want to say something too
about that.
Like, I have nothing against white people. I hate the fact that I'm saying white people. But the reality is, like, people need to understand, like, the majority of the country is youth, and the majority of the youth is unemployed. So what does that mean? The majority of the country is poor. They don't have money.
Yeah.
Like, even if someone steals bread, it's not like they want to. But, like, sometimes
it's
when you...
Yeah,
it's desperation. Mm. That's what, like, white people need to understand. Like, the majority of us, like, don't have money.
Mm. Look, I won't condone the crime.
Yeah, I'm not condoning it, too.
No,
you know?
I'm just saying, it's coming from someone. The way she said it is that these people mugged me because they're K-words or whatever the case may be. No, they mugged you because they're bad people. Mm. There's no need for you to involve race at all. These motherfuckers, even whatever you want to call them, just don't call them a racially stereotype them because their skin color has nothing to do with it. They are just bad human beings.
Exactly.
And you need to call them out for that as opposed to
the color of the bad human being.
But yeah, that's Vicky Momberg. That's kind of all I want to say about it, is that y'all are still out there and
we're going to keep on fighting.
Yeah, we're watching.
We're watching. You're going to lose your job.
exactly. Yeah, so that's it for the news. I just wanted to chat a little bit more to you guys about what's happening in your careers other than fashion. Yeah. The reason why we're here. And dude, tell me a little bit about music. I know you and Rehab have a project going on.
Yes.
You can tell me a little bit about what your influences in music are, what the story is behind
the music.
Yeah, the music.
So, like, this is only realizing it later, but I do come from a family where, like, music played a big influence in our lives. So, I'm actually a PK, first of all. So, pastor's kid.
I'm also a pastor's kid, actually.
I'm a PK. So, my parents had this vision that I'd play, like, the piano in church, you know, and I had two older brothers actually used to play. So we used to do this thing where after you're done, we'd have like these little jam sessions. So you'd come up with your own thing. So it's been like since then. I think I was 9 years old though when I first started playing.
So you've always had music in you.
Always had music in me, you know.
So tell me about this project with my boy Rehab.
With Rehab.
Yeah.
Basically, we're trying to do a thing where we're bringing back solistic sounds because we're in an age where everyone is trapping. You know, everyone is trying to make it big overnight. And, you know, the fastest way to do that is to do some trap music, you know.
Yeah,
or if not, ikum, you know. So, like, my influences are your Amy Winehouses, your Leanne LaHavises, your Lauryn Hills, you know. People who I personally believe that if you listen to what they're saying, it actually resonates with your soul.
Yeah, so, Amy Winehouse was the best at that. She was the... There was... you should be stronger. That song touched me, boy, because it was about, she just knows how to tell a story.
She does.
And I've heard you sing before, and I think it's beautiful. So I just want to know, who's your favorite artist? Who's the person you aspire to be like?
Right? That's not fair.
There's not one person that you... Because me, I
no, every... I can give you a list of everyone. I just have a specific artist that I need to work with before I die.
Who's that?
Chance the Rapper.
Oh, wow. I love Chance the Rapper.
You know what?
I didn't see that coming.
Shout out for Chance the Rapper.
Have you heard his song, Sunday Candy? Yeah.
I love Sunday Candy. I love the latest mixtape that just dropped, Coloring Book. It's so beautiful because it's about goodness, it's about joy, it's about gratefulness.
That's one of the best
albums. So for me, like, he has this church sound. So for me, it's like it's home, but he also has the hip hop sound. So it's like, you know,
because he doesn't lose the
hip hop
element. He still talks about drugs. He still, with no problems, he still talks about how he's gonna fuck shit up. You don't want no problems. Yeah, so that's so cool that you love Chance the Rapper, because I really do too, and I know Rehab does as well. So, you guys are going to, I'm sure you're going to come out with something amazing. Is there anything that we can expect anytime soon, or are you still in the working process?
At the moment, we are working on a song called THC.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've heard that.
Yeah, I have heard it. The people haven't, so boo for you.
So the people will be hearing that pretty soon. And then I've also got some stuff on my side as well, where I'm just working on an EP, and it's basically a compilation of everything that inspires me.
So,
life, love, you know, trying to get to where I say I'm going, you know.
Okay.
I'm still in a different city, still not home.
How long has it been since you've been in Joburg, by the way?
At the end of the show, it will be 4 years.
Oh, okay. So it's not that long. It sounds long, but 4 years goes by very quick.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So it's like I've had this reflection phase where it's like, okay, what can I say I've done at home, you know? Because there has to be a reason as to why I'm chose to be in Johannesburg instead of Durban, you know?
Mm.
Everyone, like, there are people who do fashion design and music in Durban as well, but there's something I had to fetch here in order for me to truly excel on my ground.
Okay,
you know?
awesome. And yourself, tell me a little bit about your music, because we did hear your track earlier, Leblomolaka.
Yeah.
Tell me your music background, because I love music, man. I like to hear about my guest stories. Yeah.
I mean, I just think, man, like, I just consider myself to be a creative person, you know, and like an artist, like in its purest form. And, you know, I can only say so much through clothing and through like photographs, you know what I mean? So I've always been like my dad used to be like in radio, used to be a DJ and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just grew up in a house where music was always playing, you know what I mean? Even now, till this day, when he goes to sleep,
he's playing
music, you know what I mean? Like, so I used to rap like in high school, but then I quit
because
I was like, nah, B, I got to change my life.
Yeah.
So I had to find meaning. But like now I just got the music bug again, because I think what's a great experience now is like merging these two worlds of like music and fashion.
Yeah, you can mix the audio with the visual. That's beautiful.
Just to give you like an experience that you've never seen before. I mean, I'm shooting a short film even next week. Where I'll be just talking about Blossom and just my journey, man. You know what I mean? But I'll announce when that will be coming up. But like, I'm just trying to give you a whole package.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like some really, really upper
level. We're trying to do branding. Yeah.
Right, it's cool. No, that's dope. Okay. And just before we wrap up, tell me the thing that keeps you going. What drives you? What would you say to the people who are in the arts and entertainment industry?
Wow.
Yeah, hey,
I'm surrounded by too many people who are good at what they do, and people who don't believe in sleeping on their, you know, on what they've been given.
Yeah.
You know, and my parents are quite ambitious people, so like.
So it's all about drive.
You can't be you've given so much as one person, you can't just go to sleep on that.
Yeah.
So
don't be complacent.
I'm not comfortable with
don't sleep on yourself.
Yeah. Don't.
And yourself, Lebo, what's your mantra?
You know, I never really thought about this question until I did like some an article in 10 and 5. I was asked the same question and I really thought about it. I think what really drives me, to be honest, is just being, you know, young and African. You know, being a born free, I feel like we have a story to tell.
There's
like
too much,
you know what I mean?
Like
we are the golden generation. You know what I mean? We
and need it's time to for set the world the bar. To know
exactly,
that.
Exactly, yeah. exactly, exactly. So I that's what moves me, man. You know, and also, man, to put a smile on my face, man.
Exactly. At the end of the day, to make you happy, and your happiness makes other people happy. Trust you guys are really awesome. I'm really inspired by you, and I can't wait to see what you guys bring out, man. It's been really dope hanging out with you.
Bat us again.
Oh, for sure. Dude, for sure. We'll do a Cliff Central Fashion Week.
Thanks.
And we'll model some of the homies here. Maybe Capital will come join us.
And shit like that. That'll be dope.
Alright, cool. So just for you to catch up on what the Worst Guys is getting up to and has been up to. First and foremost, we have a show tomorrow at Giles Restaurant in Craighall Park. That's 9 Grafton Avenue in Craighall Park. Yeah, I'm going to be your host, Malcolm Zuli. Our lineup is Mab Dope. We have The Couch Ninja, Virgil Prince, Riabeto Sesele, and your headliner Glenn Biederman Pam. So that's a crazy lineup. R50 gets you in at the door, and the doors open at 7:30. Giles Restaurant is where it's at, yo. Come join us, man. What else could you be possibly doing? Watching a fucking movie. Come on. Support local comedy. All right. So that's tomorrow on Thursday. Other news. Last week I told y'all that I entered the Comedy Central Grab the Mic competition. It was the opening round, and guess who went through? It has to be your boy. This guy is a funny man. That's why the crowd was laughing there. You know, that's me. I went through to the semi-final. 1 out of 11 goes through.
Shout out to you.
Thanks.
Shout out. Appreciate it. We working out here.
We have to.
So the semi-final's in August. I'll let you guys know further details. It's early August, the 3rd or the 7th. One of those two dates. So anyway, what else do we have going on? Next week, we are at Cliff Central as usual at 2 p.m. Anything else that you guys want to announce? Any place where they can see you, feel you, be with you?
You want to start?
You can go.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Man, just follow me on Instagram, man. My name is Lebo. Like, I'll say it again and again. My name is Lebo, okay? Yeah. Follow me on Instagram and like, yeah, like I'll bless you with like delicious visuals and like painful things, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, follow me on Instagram.
And yourself?
Okay, follow me too on Instagram at Ndumi Afzal and Facebook as well, Ndumi Afzal. And yeah, you can expect a spring summer range dropping on the 1st of September.
Spring summer range. Okay, that's really awesome. My name is Malcolm Judy, the host of The Worst Guys. So happy to have met you guys and chilled with you guys. It's been mad dope. And I'll see you guys on the flip side. Hopefully a Giles tomorrow. Yeah, baby. We out.
This is CliffCentral.com.